Okay, we're going to come back in a moment. We'll take more of your open line phone calls. A lot of you, by the way, upset with Dr. John Curtis and his particular views about the Ferguson thing. Listen to me. Don't be upset because somebody's views have nothing to do with yours. I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, you might not agree with them. I might not agree with them. But you don't have to rant and scream. You don't get anything done that way. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. And before we get going with the regular open line calls, we do have another special guest who wants to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Hello, Mr. Daniel Brinkley.
Hey, George. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you with us. Always good to have you with us. Yeah, lots always to be thankful for.
Yeah, no question. There's two things I'm thankful for deeply. I'm thankful that I'm not Bill Cosby today.
Yeah, and that's true.
And I'm thankful that I'm not in Ferguson, but my heart goes out to those people. And I think, George, they should have opened up a little more instead of, like, the grand jury. There should be a little more information put out, because when you look at the angles of those shots, I've been in close combat, and the angles of those trigger shots means it was a lot closer and a lot more interaction than we would ever think. And if it was that close, then powder burns would tell the story. But yesterday I visited my rehab vets, and today I had, Catherine and I had 31 people from age 21 to 95, and they had the most, I mean, all our kids, every one of the kids in, they had the most fun. I'm smoking a mesquite grilled turkey because everybody eats on Thanksgiving, George, and then their world, especially at my VA nursing home, then their world just goes back to the same old garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
So I smoke a turkey, and then I take bread and mayonnaise and mustard and a Thousand Island dressing so that they have sandwiches. And it's amazing. A sandwich the next day is better usually than the turkey, so tomorrow I will see them. But it's amazing what a turkey sandwich, you know how many of them we normally eat. And it's amazing to see that somebody came before and someone comes after. So if anybody gets a chance to go down and visit a vet somewhere, I'd appreciate it. And I'm just thankful that all the kids are here, everyone was safe, all their friends, and I have them all one more day. They're sleeping on the floor, they're everywhere, but I just got a chance to sit back and be so appreciative.
Oh, yeah, it's great that they're there.
And I want to thank everybody that's the Coast to Coast family, we who live in the night. I just want to thank you because I can listen, and you know, George, I can listen to the show. I have a television show that I'm pitching to Showtime called Hell to Pay. And I can listen to shows at night, and I get ideas, and I'm not going to pay you for all these ideas that you give me. But I just want to know I'm going to put you in the credits as spiritual counsel.
All right, you got that. That's fair enough.
And how was your day?
Everything's good. Family came over. A lot of people who don't have family came over, and the tryptophan kicked in, and I took a little nap, and then went out and met. But it's a great day. I just love this season. From Halloween on, I loved it the next 3-4 months.
Are you in St. Louis or you're?
Yeah, I'm in St. Louis. I'm right in the middle of this Ferguson situation. I was out there on my last trip. I have not been out there during this recent episode, but let's just pray that it calms down a little bit, Daniel.
And we just get the information out. All I want to know, George, and this is something that I would want to know, powder burns. It's either the officer had blowback in his powder burns or the clothes that the kid was wearing. If you have powder burns, then everybody's story collapses. And if you're at close range, which those shots are random, it's like, I've been in that situation myself in the course of being in the Corps.
Yeah.
So I know that there's more to it, but we just need to get more information out. And my heart goes out to every small store owner and all of that stuff that's going on. And I'm sorry about the guy who yelled.
Well, that happens. Daniel, thanks, and you be well. Enjoy the rest of your day. Definitely your weekend, indeed. You know, one of the other problems in the Ferguson case is a lot of the people who had been eyewitnesses in front of the media when this horrible thing happened in August, under oath before the grand jury, they changed their story. And it was nothing like what you heard in the media at all. Hands up, this, that. It was nothing like that. And that's why the grand jury made its decision that there was not enough evidence to hold a trial. So when do we start negating our justice system? Aren't we supposed to be people of the law? And had the grand jury decided to remand him over for a trial because they felt there was enough evidence, then so be it. Go for it. But they didn't. They decided, nobody else did, they decided that there was not enough evidence for a trial. Call it a travesty, call it whatever you want, but they decided. Oh, well. Tom, you got a text message for me back there? What do you got for us back in the old studios? We do take your text messages, and Tommy has one for me.
This one is coming from Jordan in Atlanta. I think people in general are not thankful enough, and being Thanksgiving, I would like to know the top three things you are most thankful for.
I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the coast-to-coast audience, and I'm thankful for my staff, because without you folks, and I'm not trying to blow smoke at you, Tom, but I would not be where I am today. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
I got two out of three.
Oh, you did?
I thought your third one would be you're thankful that you have lived such a long life so far. No offense.
Well, you know.
Hey, I'm up there too. That's not what I mean.
Nah,
you know what I mean.
I don't think about that. You know, I take every day, as you well know, as if it's your last. And, you know, enjoy it, make it your fullest, and do what you do.
But you know, I mean, you know, you look almost like 40 or 50 and you're not, you know.
I've been lucky. I'm very, very lucky about that. I don't know how or why. You know, my mother's very young. She's 85 years old. By the way, they just hired her in Detroit for a commercial.
Excellent.
And she had, you know what she's like. She's spry. She had the greatest time. They loved her.
Like the Where's the Beef lady?
Yeah. Just about.
What kind of commercial?
It's like an elderly commercial for some products that they're working on. But
good for her.
I was talking to her yesterday, and she taped it about a month ago. And I said, so tell me more about the commercial, Mom. How'd it go? And she went, I haven't been paid yet.
I'll have to call her and congratulate her.
Yeah, do that. Okay, thanks.
See ya.
Next up, we go to Skip in Warren, Ohio. Skip, you're on the air with me. Go ahead.
How you doing, George? This is my anniversary. I was telling Tommy I called you 1 year ago today. I was the first-time caller.
Oh, great. Now you're a part of the group. Good to have you with us again.
Yeah. Well, I thought you might like to hear a time travel story.
I heard this
on a scanner. And what happened was these guys were talking. It sounded like an Art Bell show, so I tuned in. I was driving truck at the time.
Yeah.
I had this scanner, and these guys, they were talking about HARP, and another one was talking about not so much abduction, but molestation, you know, Grays in their bedroom. The third guy, he thought that they would ever do time travel. And this guy from the Navy piped up. He said, y'all know me. He says, I retired last month from the Navy, he says, and I held quite a high security clearance. He says, 3 months before I retired, he says, and I can't entertain any more questions other than what I'm going to tell you. He says, so don't ask me. He says, 3 months before I retired, I was in a pyramid that had never been opened before. Inside, he said, we found a 4,000-year-old contemporary computer.
Wow. What a story.
Yeah, that was the only words that came over the air after that.
Did he, like, disappear? What happened?
No, I mean, he you know, he just said he couldn't tell anymore, and all of his friends said were, oh, wow, and so did I.
Do you know him enough to believe him?
Yeah, they were talking really, I mean, you know, technical stuff, and I believed him. I think he was absolutely, you know, because he told his friends, he says, I can't talk about it any more than what I'm going to tell you, and what I tell you is all I can tell you.
I love that story, Skip. God, I wish we could find that guy, huh? Maybe next time.
Really, that would be great. It was about 20 years ago, but you know, this thing with Ferguson, I haven't heard one thing. I'd like to put out a call for a black police officer, because they're all trained the same way. What would he have done if this guy was wrestling his gun away from him? He would have done the same thing.
Yeah, he would have done the same thing. There's no question about it. Skip, thanks for being on the program. I don't want to talk about and dwell on Ferguson all the time, but you know what? None of this would have happened had the 18-year-old simply listened to the police officer from the get-go, or had he not tried to rob or take the little cigarillos from the convenience store. That's the tragedy. And people need to realize that. You know, had none of those events occurred, this thing would not have happened. Sarah is in Wellington, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Sarah, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Norrie.
Hello, Sarah.
I want to first off and say Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
And our Thanksgiving in my family is a very politically charged event.
Why?
So we had, it's just the way it is, we have opposing views of either side in our family. And Ferguson was a big topic of discussion tonight, and I lose many hours of sleep listening to you, because I'm in Ohio. So, anyways, first off, in my opinion, I think that Reverend Al Sharpton helps perpetuate racism. Because, I mean, we are in the 21st century. I think there's less people that are racist now than ever. And I teach my children to not be racist.
I'm very disappointed in Sharpton. I'm very disappointed in him.
I'm very disappointed as well. And I think that, you know, if the police are afraid to protect the people, then we're less safe. That's just the point. You know, if they're afraid to do their job, you know, they learn. And you know, my father was a police officer. I have plenty of family in the armed forces and firefighters. And they're trained to protect themselves. And if they're afraid to do that, then we as a people are less safe. Because if they're afraid of the outcome, you know, to raise a gun at a minority or anyone,
you know,
for that matter, we're less safe.
I got to tell you, sir, you know, in my life, I've never had any real police altercations, but I would never, ever think of slamming a door shut on a cop or trying to reach in through a window to grab his gun or anything. I mean, it just makes no sense at all.
I've never had a speeding ticket yet, and I would never do it. I mean, I would never drive away or roll my window up or, you know, do anything like that. They're there to protect us, and that's the point. You know, they're there to protect all of us, and we should look at them that way. And we recently in Cleveland, I'm in Wellington. I'm a little further away, about 45 minutes south of Cleveland, but we had a shooting. There was a little boy who was 12 years old. It was at like a, it's like a YMCA. It's a youth center. And he was walking around the streets, and he was raising a gun. He was 12 years old. He looked like a bigger boy. He didn't look like a 12-year-old. And the gun looked like it was real.
Yes.
And somebody called the police, and the police showed up, and he raised the gun to them, and they fired.
And they fired at him. And it's a sad story, but again, what possesses a little 12-year-old kid to hold a gun to a police officer? Oh, my God. Why didn't you just put it down on the ground?
You know,
they would have realized it was a toy. They probably would have scolded him. I'm not sure if he even would have been charged with anything as a minor.
Probably not. I mean, realistically, he may have went, you know, maybe went and had some counseling. I mean, that's realistic. That's the day and age.
But it also tells you, Sarah, how uptight our police officers are. I mean,
right.
You, a little 12-year-old holds what looks like a real gun at you.
But the thing is,
is there any other way to get out of it? I don't know.
There was no way to tell. They showed this firearm on the news.
Oh, you couldn't tell. It looks real.
My father is a detective. He said, if I were looking at this gun, because that was our discussion of today, on the coffee table, I would not know if that was not a real firearm. He said that the...
I agree.
The barrel had been altered, and it looked like a real firearm. So he's like, I may have shot this child, not knowing that it wasn't a real firearm. So the point is that now the discussion is that let's change the gun to a fluorescent color, all of
right.
those pistols.
Make it orange, yellow, something like that, yeah.
But what if the criminals decide to paint their guns fluorescent colors?
Good point. You spray paint it. You know, you can go to one of these hardware stores and get this, you know,
right.
Rust-Oleum fluorescent paint. You spray paint it.
Right. So I think that all police officers need to now start wearing cameras. All of
them. Well, I think they should be doing that, and I also think people need to stop playing around with police officers and obey
right.
the law, and I don't care whether you're 12 or 80. You know,
right?
You don't brandish a gun, whether it's real or not, at a police officer. You don't do it.
Right. And
unbelievable.
I get
back to the parents. Where are the parents?
Really. That was the main thing, is that everybody said, where's the kids' parents? You know, now they're out, and you know, we have a similar situation, like not exactly like Ferguson, because we don't have, you know, looting and all that, but the people are trying to get home from downtown Cleveland, and the shoreways are blocked, and they're, you know, they have their signs, and they're blocking the shoreway. People aren't able to get home, and it was just a senseless act. You know, where were the parents? Why did they not tell? I tell my son plays with guns. You know, I'm not one of those parents that's like, oh, no, you can't have a gun to play with. I mean, it's not a real gun, but. You know, like toys.
We used to have cap guns, right? I used to play that as
right.
a kid. We had cap guns, but you know what? Never once did I aim that gun at a police officer, ever.
Yeah, my son knows. He has a replica. He's a really into the Civil War. He has a replica gun of a Civil War Colt. And I said, it doesn't have an orange tip. And I said, don't you ever take that gun outside. He's 8 years old. He knows you can never take that gun outside. It's just on your dresser, and it stays there.
Yep.
And he knows, and he's 8.
And you got to do it. Sarah, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. It's just sad. All these episodes are unfortunately sad, created by the individual. Gosh. Anyways, we're going to continue with open lines when we come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Sorry to be on this topic so much, especially on a Thanksgiving, but, you know, we'll take your calls. We'll let you steer us in the right direction. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I'm putting you in the hands of very capable Connie Willis tomorrow on Coast to Coast with her guest Stan Gordon talking about the Pennsylvania UFO case. And then she'll have open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM, always live programming here on the program. We'll be back with more of your open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. East of the Rockies, we go to John in St. Louis to get us started. Hey, John, thanks for calling.
Good morning, George. I love the show, and I want to say I wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I'll be so glad when this Ferguson thing really calms down and everything. You get tired of hearing about it, but it's just really important. But, you know, I wish the media would focus on good things going on in St. Louis as of today, like people like Larry Rice who's feeding all them people.
Yep, absolutely.
A lot of good stuff going on. Anyway, it makes you sick, though. You know, you got people over in London shouting, hands up, don't shoot. I mean, false information gets out there and just spreads like a wildfire. On Charlie Rose's show and the parents, they're professional victims now. I mean, you know, it really comes down to the family core unit of a family knowing where their kids are And until that gets solved, that's really the root of a lot of this. You've got kids running around with no supervision. Maybe there's no father around. And then their heroes is gangster rappers. So where are you going to go from there?
I know. It's a bad situation.
By the way, you know who's from Ferguson? I would like to hear from. Maybe he was here 10 years ago or so, and they gave him the key to the city. Michael McDonald.
Really?
Yeah. He's from Ferguson.
Maybe we can track him down. John, thanks for the call. And, of course, another one of our great guests who has provided you information and has done some incredible things for a lot of Coast to Coast listeners in terms of health is author Christian Wild and researcher. Christian, happy Thanksgiving to you.
And happy Thanksgiving to you, George. And I'm appreciating this show and the concentration on gratitude. And I'm very grateful to all of the listeners for supporting my turmeric product and helping it win the excellence in new product health development.
Good for you. That's exciting.
It's you and your listeners that did it by word of mouth. But yesterday I was reminded again of the sobering fact, and I'm going to talk about the Wounded Warriors for a minute.
All right.
The sobering fact that every day in America, 22 veterans take their own lives. Is that a shame? 8,030 a year. Now, of course, they do need our financial contributions like the Warrior Project, but they also need our friendship. They need our moral support.
That's right.
To help them get through and get on with their lives so they don't feel that they are useless or that they have done something that isn't honored. Irma Brombeck, there's a lot of sayings I keep around my office, but Irma Brombeck said, "Volunteers are the only human beings on the face of the earth who reflect this nation's compassion, unselfish caring, and just plain loving one another. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth." You know who said that?
Who said that one?
Muhammad Ali.
How about that? A great warrior. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just got to tell you, all of you out there listening, this show reaches a lot of people. It reaches their hearts besides reaching their minds. And, George, you do so much for helping people, and it's reflected tonight in what people are saying. You know, you talk about gratitude. Well, the great poet, the Lebanese poet, Khalil Gibran, said, "You pray in your distress and in your need. Would that you might pray also in the fullness of your joy and in your days of abundance. Be grateful for the sunshine," and in effect, that's what he's saying, "but also be grateful for the rain."
I love it.
You know, movies, George, movies and stories
I like that.
That move me greatly are the ones of the human spirit, overcoming obstacles and adversity. And there was a great movie out 3 months ago. I don't know if you saw it. It was about the singer's life, James Brown, the soul singer. He came from the most dismal, abusive, and broken childhood.
I was just watching it tonight, by the way.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Then it's meant to be talked about. In the most dismal childhood, but he picked himself up time and time again. He would not quit, and he rose to become the greatest soul singer of all time. There probably wouldn't have been a Michael Jackson had there not been a James Brown. But the message, George, from his life that was captured in the title song of the film, "How You Gonna Get Up If You've Never Been Down?"
You got that right.
So people who are down tonight and having a tough time, well, you got the support of George. You got the support of Coast to Coast. You have people that care about you, and I care about you. And I've had the opportunity to have met so many of you over the years, and I hoped I've been able to help you or guide you in certain things when you've asked for help. Aristotle said another thing. He said, "What is the essence of life? To serve others and to do good." And Winston Churchill, the great Winston Churchill, says, "You make a living by what you get, but you make a life of what you give. So this is that time of year, and we all do it,
Christian, and I want to get your website out because it is so important for people to track what you do, myheartbook.com. Christian, thank you again for everything you do. Let us go now to John in Santa Clarita, California. John, you've been on hold almost an hour and a half, so thank you.
Thank you, George. Can you hear me, George?
Yeah, I sure can.
George, I'm sorry to trouble you. First-time caller. I started listening to you back in August of this year.
Well, thank you, George.
I was listening to your caller. This gentleman just got you talking to you, in fact, talking about attitude and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get the name of a movie. When I first started listening to you, I realized you are a chief source of information. You know just about everything, about movies and everything possible. But anyway, there was a movie I saw back in 1969. And some people tell me that it could be Falling Down with Michael Douglas. But no, Michael Douglas, that movie came out, I think, in 1993. But it had something to do with a gentleman who had a rough day at work. He was given an assignment, and he went in, and he didn't do a good job. And his employer just bawled him out royally. And he was so hurt to where, instead of him driving home like he normally would do, he decided to walk home. And, George, he walked and walked and walked and walked and walked and realized that he was missing out on a whole lot of things in life. He had his briefcase with him. He took his briefcase and threw it in the trash.
Was that with William Macy?
George, I don't know the name of the movie, and I don't know the name of the character. But I say George has to know. He is our chief source of information.
Tell me what the character looked like.
I don't remember, George. I don't remember. It was back in 1969. I was a little kid then at the time. But the guy walked for so long. When he got home, his wife was hysterical. He was married. His wife was hysterical. She said, "Where have you been?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I decided to walk home because I was so upset." And he said, "I called the police on you, said you was missing." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "So he went in the bathroom, George. He had a full-grown beard. He had been walking for about 4, 5, or 6 days. And eventually he and his wife divorced. He gave his wife everything. And he just had a little enough saving to live on. And he realized that's all he did. He didn't need no three big meals a day. He would go to the park and just watch people argue with people or talk or watch the pigeons. In other words, George, I can almost say it was something that dealing with, he became aware of life.
Yeah. And what year do you think you saw that?
69, came on TV. 69. It came on TV, not at the movie theater.
Oh, it's a TV show.
Yes.
Gosh, I'm going to have to check that for you.
Oh, my goodness, I wish you would.
I wish I had that. You've been waiting so long, you deserve the answer right now. But I'll keep checking. Tom, you've got a text message for us. What do you got?
We do, from Bella in Orange County, California. Bella.
Bella.
Bella. I've been following the Ferguson story, and although it's people's right to protest, what do you think it is within humans that make them violent?
Well, first of all, I think these episodes are staged. The people who have been protesting, and they have a right to protest.
Right.
They have a right to assemble, as long as they don't disrupt and there's not civil disobedience. But I truly believe that the looters and those that are, burning down buildings, those people have come in from outstate, or they have a different agenda altogether. They're full of hate, they're criminals, and they need to be dealt with the fullest extent of the law. I don't think the other people who are out there protesting, I think they're disappointed. They're in shock over what's going on.
You think it's just bred in them to commit violence?
I just think they're a bunch of punks, They're a bunch of punks who are trying to take advantage of a very sad, real situation.
It is sad. It is sad. Maybe they're just having fun doing it. And that is sad itself. No, that is sad itself.
Steve in Paris, California. Steven, go ahead.
Hello, George. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir.
Also, I'd like to wish a hempy Thanksgiving to all the pot prisoners that are spending life in prison for a plant.
Well, let's hope they get out, because that's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. They are getting out, but I do want to bring attention that there are about 40 Americans that are spending life without parole for cannabis. It's a nonviolent crime.
What did they do to get that kind of sentence?
Well, it's been back in the Bush era that really when they were pushing it, but there's some that are in there for conspiracy to where they had nothing to do with any marijuana. They didn't have nothing to do with the people, but when they're working out the plea bargains, the people that have been doing the bad things have actually went and turned on the people that feel that they have nothing to hide. They will take it to trial. They will see that they didn't have nothing to do with it, and they'll go home. And in the end, they're being pointed out as one of the top people, and they're being put in prison for life without parole for cannabis. And there's a group I've been working with called the Human Solution. And
who are they?
They are a group. It's a civil rights group. They're now a 501c nonprofit. And what they originally were doing was offering court support to the medical cannabis patients who got in trouble with the law because the law didn't understand the law that we had voted in. And they turned it over to the courts to sort it out. But in a lot of these cases, the prosecutor will not allow a medical defense. And these patients are in there by themselves, and they're being prosecuted for medicine that is saving their lives.
Well, let me tell you something. Years ago, when I was doing my local Nighthawk show in St. Louis, I did a complete program on the medicinal use of marijuana, especially for people who could not take prescription pharmaceutical pain pills, and it changed their life. I mean, I had an awakening that this was so important for people, and I was written up in the Riverfront Times then. This is back in, 97, 98, something like that. They were in shock at the time that I gave that program, because at that time nobody ever talked about that. And you are absolutely right. It is critical, Steve, critical that those kinds of things change. They really do. We're going to end this in a moment with something I want to make you laugh with on Thanksgiving. I haven't played this in a long time. Let me briefly tell you what it is. A guy was on his way to work, and he was calling his boss because he was late for a meeting because he was witnessing what he thought was one of the funniest episodes in his life. So I want you to sit back for a moment and enjoy this, and I hope it gives you the kind of chuckle that you deserve. Connie Willis, again, will be doing the show for me tomorrow while I do some family things, but she's very capable, and you'll have a good time with her. And I'll be back on Monday with another week of fantastic coast-to-coast show. So here we are. Listen in on this individual, and here he is calling his boss.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala, just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. We got another woman that's... She's hitting him like She's got a kettle frog, man. She's got an umbrella. She's sticking it inside. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman. Looks like Mother Goose. She's got... Oh, she beat him. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. She's got... Oh, she beat him. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black purse is still all pieces of it. okay, he's up on the car. the little woman just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here.
Hilarious for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.